You're listening to Cross the Border, and we're going through the book of Daniel, and we're in Daniel chapter 9. And Daniel, he got these visions, and I'm sure he thought on them for a long time, and he's still searching the scriptures. He got the prophecy of the 2300 days and or evenings, and I believe that those are literal days or literal evening and morning or evening day days, because it specifically says evenings, and that fits in with the temple being cleansed ceremonially, because we know that the decree is going to go forward to restore and rebuild Jerusalem to Judah, and this is necessary. The 70 weeks is almost up, and when he got the prophecy of the 2300 days, we know that 2300 literal days is about 6 1/3 years, approximately 2300 literal days. So it's almost 7 years, and I believe that would have been to the evening that they would ceremonially cleanse the temple after it was rebuilt, so that they could initiate or reinstitute the daily. And that is my interpretation. That is what the Heavenly Father showed me. I'm not going to say it's right, but I've looked at all of the other interpretations out there, and they end up to time periods, if you want to call those 2,300 years and a day for a year. I believe that there is a difference in the way that time period is given. And, of course, if you want to hear that, you can, you heard that in the last hour, and if you didn't hear it in the last hour, you can go to the archive for this day's show, and you can listen to the whole thing from the beginning, because I'm not going to go over it again. So anyway, Daniel's looking for this, and finally he says, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of years whereof the word of Yahuwah came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. So he's looking for the end of the desolation of Jerusalem, that, you know, that desolation, that abomination that made Jerusalem desolate is coming, the desolation is coming to an end, that was because of the abomination or the iniquity of the people. So he said, I set my face to Yahuwah, to the Lord God, to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I've never done the sackcloth and ashes things myself, but it seems to be a theme throughout scripture, fasting definitely. And I prayed unto Yahuwah my God and made confession. And I said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him, to them that keep his commandments. We have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled, even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto the servants thy prophets, which spoke in thy name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongs to thee, and unto us confusion of faces as at this day. So he's saying, you know, you are righteous, and confusion is our lot, because we've been confused. How were they confused? Their nation was stripped from them. And of course, he didn't understand the vision, but he's getting understanding and confusion. The people don't know which way to go. And he says, at this day, as it is at this day to the men of Judah, and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and unto all Israel that are near and that are far off, through all the countries whither thou hast driven them, because of their trespass that they have trespassed against thee. O Lord, to us belongeth confusion of face, to our kings and to our princes and to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. So you want the confusion gone, you know, choose to live a life of obedience to our Heavenly Father by faith, believing in the redemption and the resurrection from the dead. Daniel 9:9. To the Lord our God belong mercies and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him. Neither have we obeyed the voice of Yahuwah our God to walk in his laws, which he set before us by his servants, the prophets, Yea, all Israel have transgressed thy law, even by departing, that they might not obey thy voice. Therefore the curse is poured upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against him. And if you'll remember, as we went through the law of Moses, that a curse was written there if they obeyed not his voice. And that's what Daniel is referring to. And he hath confirmed his words, which he spoke against us, and against our judges that judged us, by bringing us upon us a great evil. For under the whole heaven hath not been done as hath been done upon Jerusalem. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil is come upon us, yet made we not our prayer before Yahuwah, our God, that we might turn from our iniquities to understand thy truth. Therefore hath Yahuwah watched upon the evil and brought it upon us, for Yahuwah our God is righteous in all his works which he doeth, for we obeyed not his voice. And now, O Lord our God, that hast brought thy people forth out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand, and has gotten thee renowned, as at this day we have sinned and have done wickedly. O Lord, according to all thy righteousness, I beseech thee, let thine anger and thy fury be turned away from thy city Jerusalem, thy holy mountain, because of our sins. For the iniquities of our father, Jerusalem, and thy people are become a reproach to all that are about us. Now therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplications, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate for the Lord's sake. O my God, incline thy ear and hear, open thine eyes and behold our desolations, and the city which is called by thy name. For we do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousness, but for thy great mercies. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not for thine own sake, O my God, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name. And while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before Yahuwah my God for the holy mountain of my God, yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me and talked with me, and said, O Daniel, I am come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I came, and I come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore understand the matter and consider the vision. You know, and that just melts my heart, you know, that Gabriel would say, thou art greatly beloved. And he says, therefore understand the matter and consider the vision. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision and the prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Wow, you know, there's a lot that's going to happen in this 70 weeks. And as I was saying here, this is it, the 70 sevens. And it says here, it goes, Shabuah, Shabuah, Shabuah. And that's what it says in the Hebrew. So it's sevens, basically, literally seven. And it doesn't mean a week, okay, as in a week of days, 7 days a week. It just means sevens. Basically, you have the word seven being multiplied, indicating plural or more than one. So we have 70 sevens are determined upon thy people Israel. So that differentiates it from the 2300 days, which are literal evenings. And I believe that we've interpreted that properly. So if you go back, if you didn't hear this whole program, you might want to listen to the whole thing to get that. So 77s are determined upon thy people and upon the holy city. So we're talking about, that's the duration. That's what's determined upon thy people. That would be Israel and Judah specifically. And upon the holy city, that is Jerusalem, to finish the transgression, okay, put an end to it, to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity. So when was the reconciliation for iniquity made? And to bring in everlasting righteousness. When was everlasting righteousness brought in? And he says, and to seal up the vision and the prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. So basically, it says that within the 77s, these are the things that are going to happen or be caused to happen. Basically, we know that to seal up the vision and the prophecy, that this is all going to happen within the 70 weeks and to anoint the most holy. So what does this tell us? It tells us that it's going to bring in everlasting righteousness. Of course, we know that Yahshua did that. He made reconciliation for iniquity. That put an end to the cause of sin, you know. And what is the end of sin? What does that refer to? Well, we know that he set the captives free, that before Yahshua appeared on the scene, that there was a place, a compartment in hell called paradise, or it was called Abraham's bosom, but it was still a compartment in hell, because everyone that had sinned, or everyone, even the righteous man, still had imputed to him the wages of sin is death. So they were held captive. So he set them free. So it made an end in a manner of speaking of sins, because we know that people still continue to sin and disobey God to this day. So this doesn't literally mean that, you know, we have that witness that tells us that to make an end to sins here. That phrase did not mean that everyone would stop sinning and that no one would ever sin after that. But it is here coupled with to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness. We have to take those phrases and bind them all together to see what's being said, to seal up the vision and the prophecy. So we know that the prophecy and the vision would all be sealed up at that time, and to anoint the most holy. We know that Yahshua was anointed at that time also within that 70 weeks. So he says, know and therefore understand from the going forth of the commandment to restore and rebuild Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince shall be 77s and 77s. So the 70 he has here, 77s, and now he's breaking them up for some purpose and making a division here between 7 weeks or 49 years, and then we have 62 weeks. So we have 62 sevens. So it's still 69. And it says, from the going forth of the commandment. And then he says, the street shall be built again and the wall, even in troublous times. So he's talking about the rebuilding, the commandment to restore and rebuild Jerusalem. Of course, restore means refers to restoring it to Judah, and rebuilding Jerusalem, of course, refers to rebuilding the temple. So as I understood it from the vision and the prophecy that was given and recorded in the prior chapter, chapter 8 of 2300 days, that it would be accomplished within 6.4 years of that time, because that's what 2300 days, to the day or the evening that the temple was ceremonially cleansed so that they could reinstitute the daily. Does all of this make sense to you? Well, it seems to make, it makes sense to me. So we're now, he's told that the time is coming, that there's going to be a decree or a commandment to restore and rebuild Jerusalem. Okay, so, and after the 62 weeks, shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. So we have the 7 weeks, 49 years, and then we have the 3 score and 2 weeks. So we know that after the 60, the full 69 weeks, why the division is given there, I don't understand yet. Maybe we'll get it by tomorrow, or maybe some of you have an insight. I've read various things, but I haven't settled on anything yet. So perhaps we'll have to discuss that tomorrow. We certainly don't have time today. We'll just read it today, and tomorrow perhaps we'll have more time to dig in and ferret some of these things out. But he says, know therefore and understand, okay, after the 3 score and 2 weeks, and we know the 3 score and 2 weeks came after the 7 sevens, or the 49 years, so we know it's the full 69 weeks. So after 69 weeks from the decree, shall Messiah be cut off? So the now specifically, you know, the word Messiah comes up here. The Messiah, the anointed one, the consecrated person, okay, the Mashiach. They were all the one they were looking forward to. This is what they were all looking forward to. From Adam and Eve, when they were at their first church meeting, at their first ecclesia event, when their high priest came and did the sacrifice for them and clothed them with the animal skins, and he preached that sermon to them about the coming Messiah, you know, Yahuwah's provision to restore to them, you know, to bring them to the resurrection of life. And so here we have it explicitly after the 3 score and 2 weeks and after the 49 years. So after the full 69 weeks, shall the Messiah be cut off, but not for himself? So, and we know why he was cut off after this, in the middle of the 70th week. It's after the 69, and we know that he was cut off in the middle of the week. And it says, but not for himself. He was cut off for the people, not for himself, because he had never sinned. Shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself? And it says, and the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. So who's the prince of the people that shall come? Of course, referring to Rome and the Roman Empire, the prince of the people that shall come. They shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. And he says, the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. And he, so who is the he? Let's try to figure out who the he was, because in futurism, there's a lot of confusion over the who the he is. They want to say he is the Antichrist, because they're looking for a way to juxtapose the 70th week of Daniel off into the future and take the onus off of the true Antichrist and, you know, keep it out there in the future where nobody can identify it, and because they don't want, you know, the Antichrist to be identified. Of course, that's the way it works. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. So who is the he? Well, we got to read the whole thing. We got to back up and read it all together again to find out who he is. Who is he? After the 3 score and 2 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. So we're talking about the Messiah so far. And it says, and the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city. So we're not talking about the prince. It says the people of the prince shall destroy the city. So the people are not a he, and it's not the prince, because the object here is the people of the prince shall come. So we don't want to confuse here, and I believe that's why the language is given here this way, so that we don't confuse, so that we can see. So it's not the people, because the people is not a he. That's a bunch of he's. So the people of the prince that shall come. It's not the prince, because he's not the object here. The object is the people, the prince that shall come. They shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. So it's not the he that destroys the sanctuary, but is the people of the prince that shall come that shall destroy the sanctuary. And the end thereof shall be with a flood, and then to the end of the war, desolations are determined. Of course, speaking of the final end that came with a flood and the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD. So the only he that the he can refer to here is the Messiah. After 3 score and 2 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And he shall confirm, because there is no other he here. and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And he did that. He confirmed the covenant with many for 1 week. How did he do it? Well, he was cut off in the middle of the week, but not for himself, but for the people. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of the abominations, he shall make it desolate, and even till the consummation. And how did he do that? How did he cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease? By giving up his own life. Remember, the veil in the temple was rent from top to bottom. They couldn't just go in there now and do the sacrifice as they did before. Whether they repaired the veil or not, and they continued to go through the motions up until the temple was finally destroyed in 70 AD, of course, they couldn't continue it because of the siege of Jerusalem. So they, even if they did repair or replace the veil in the temple and then went, it was all for naught after that point, because he was the final sacrifice. And the priest, temple, tabernacle, sacrificial system was put to an end when he said, "It is finished." And with those words, when he said, "It is finished," the veil in the temple was rent from top to bottom. It was finished. The priest temple sacrifice system was finished. He put an end to sin. It was finished. He brought in everlasting righteousness. It was finished. He made reconciliation for iniquity. He finished the transgression. It was all finished. It was finished. It was finished. Can't say that enough. It was finished. He shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And yes, he did. He empowered, and he was there even after he was resurrected from the dead. And he showed himself to thousands. He empowered. He gave power to his disciples who became the apostles. And they continued to confirm the covenant for the remainder of that 70th week. And then after that 70th week, it was over. And the gospel was taken to the rest of the earth. And we'll pick up here next time on Cross the Border.